Involved in a meeting. What is the point of a meeting? Do you ever think about that? You know, we get together and yell at, well, a lot of meetings I've been, there was no God around, but it's one of those things. But is this all right? Thank you, brother. I didn't think that was working today, but I appreciate that. I'm encouraged already. Yeah, I needed that. I really did. Yeah. Y'all hear that, didn't you? So anyway, it's been meetings and so forth, and you just want something to happen. And I've been in church, and I told my wife, I said, today I'm going to say amen if it hurts them. And I have, and it hurt them. I've never, you know, you get around some places and you wonder why folks even bother showing up. What are we doing? This is entertainment, right? Is that what this is? And at least you didn't have to pay for it. It's like the little girl was, you know, got in the car going home, and dad was complaining about the message and how it wasn't this and wasn't that. And she said, well, daddy, if you paid more than a dollar, it might have gone better. Only put a dollar in the offering plate, you know. So yeah. Get what you pay for. So praise the Lord. I haven't been paid yet, so you don't know what you're getting here. So we'll see how that works out. Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 5. It's good to be here, amen? Hallelujah. It's you know, you get into a meeting. I don't know about you, but I do this all the time. I struggle. And it's me. I'm not being presumptuous about thinking. I blame everybody else, but it's actually me. And I just struggle with things and what's going on, etc. I try to find out where God's at and what God wants and how that's working, etc. Just because something's preached doesn't mean that's necessarily what I have to pay attention to. Amen? And I've seen folks, and I've been in churches and preached and so forth, and I've had people come up and tell me something that had nothing to do with anything I said in the message. But they got blessed. They, oh, the Lord showed me this, pastor, out of your message. I said, really? I wasn't even in there. Well, I'm glad God's working. Amen? And it's just peculiar how that works sometimes. So you never know how it works out. But I get into meetings every now and then, and it kind of moves. Even when I'm the only preacher, it's still kind of, you're just kind of trying to find where it's at and what's going on, et cetera, et cetera. So I just told you that to tell you I really have no idea what's going on. So in Acts chapter 5, we'll see how this is going to work out. Amen? Now this is... if you know Acts chapter 5, you know this is not going to be nice. I've tried to make this nice. One of the advantages of having a church now, and I've been pastoring there, my wife comes with me, and she likes it there, basically, because I'm there, I guess, because she's enamored with me. But the thing is that we've been there since February, and if you know, having been in evangelism, four times whatever that many weeks is a whole lot more messages than I had. Amen? That's just how it works out. But so the thing is, I've had to actually see if God had anything else I should preach. Amen? And so this is one of those new messages. Yeah. So if it shines too much, you know, just buff it or kick it or something. It'll get dirty eventually. But the thing is, I like these things. I like preaching. I like being around God's people. I like teaching. I like to do that. It's a good thing. I've been doing it all my life. But the thing is, I'm always trying to be nice. Now, where I am, I have to be at least 30% nice. Because they come, most of them come every, well, I'm sorry, they come rather often. They don't come every week, but they come rather often, amen? And, you know, I told my wife, I said, if I preach like an evangelist, we'll never see him again. Because, you know, evangelist's idea is to go and just go, boom, and everybody goes, wah, and then boom, and then we leave. You can't do that in your church every Sunday. Everybody will die. They'll just, you know, just, or they'll get indifferent. Oh, they already are. Anyway, so the thing is, messages like this, I'm going to preach it a little worse to you than I preached it to them. Just letting you know. So see how it works out. Acts chapter 5, verse 1, it says, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Thank you, Ananias. I appreciate that. It's very kind of you. Amen? Well, that's what he wishes, he said. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Now, that's a lot in one sentence. Have you ever had Satan fill your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? If you did, you'd never admit it. And if you're still living, you know it's not as serious. You're not living in this day and time. Amen? I'm not going to. Never mind. And we'll go on. Whilst it remained, here's a classic statement, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. When I read that, I thought, yeah, I'll bet it did. Woo-wee, don't you know there's some folks straightened right up. If we could do that today, we'd have either very few members or we'd have some very serious members. But thank God we can't do that today. Well, never mind. I'll get to it. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? How do you answer a question like that? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and said, man, not another one. And carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Father, help us today. God, we'll try to please you somehow. But Father, please help us to understand what this is about and be encouraged in it. Thank you for the folks that are here today. Help us now. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Very interesting circumstance. Now, you're in the early church. This is, you've had 8,000 people by number get saved. You've had multitudes come to Christ. You got this thing rolling through Jerusalem. It is upsetting everything and everybody. It is causing a turmoil. And they meeting on a daily basis, and the apostles are teaching them and showing them doctrine. And they don't know all of it yet because it hasn't all come to fruition. It hasn't all been revealed about what God's doing, but God's doing something. And what he's doing is what we've been talking about for a couple days here as far as it's concerned. He's building something, and he's putting something together. And we know now what it is, the body of Christ. Now, whether all that was going to happen, however you understand your doctrine or deal with that sort of thing at the time and the circumstances of the early church and how this was going here in Acts 5, whether it was the anticipation of the second advent, it looks like that's what's going on, that they expected the Lord to show up right away. And they weren't planning for long term. They were planning for short term. That's why they were selling what they had and giving it to the apostles so they could distribute it. Everybody be all set, because we weren't going to be doing this very long. You know, it's you might say, well, it's communism or socialism. Well, it's not, because they were volunteering and because they had anticipation of leaving there very soon, and you can't take it with you. And why would you want to bring it to heaven? It's a lot. You got better stuff there, amen? And so all this is going on. And folks are getting excited, and there's a lot of thrill about what's going on. It's new, it's fresh, it's vibrant, it's real, and it's happening. I mean, the apostles are healing people. They are messing with the Sanhedrin. They're walking out of jail. Huh, son, don't you know a lot of them would like to have done that, amen? They're places where God's put them. The Holy Spirit's all over the place. It's really cool. Then you got these folks show up. Ananias and Sapphira. Now, they looked like everybody else, amen? They gave the impression they were like everybody else. And they show up, and they had some land. Well, praise the Lord. And sold it. And they got together, and they have some issues, and I'll talk about that in just a second. That caused them some serious harm. And what they did is pretty clearly identified. It says Satan filled their heart Can't blame it on the flesh, amen? Satan, already working, amen? Going after it. Going to undermine the church somehow. He's going to mess this thing up as soon as he can. He's right at the beginning. He's right at the out. As soon as they broke the gate, he is right there ready to mess this thing up. And he's affecting people who are willing to let him. Satan, fill thine heart. You know, I don't know how this works out, but some of the thoughts we have probably aren't our own. And you should be careful about those things. And they thought it'd be a good idea to set some money aside for something and then bring the rest of it and give it to the apostles. But they forgot to mention the little fact that they set some aside. And they thought it'd be a good idea to, you know, maybe for a rainy day, maybe this thing's not going to work out. You know, all this hullabaloo and all that, we've heard about these things, and maybe this isn't the real deal. You never know. You want to take a risk on that, you know. If you take a chance on that, and it's not what they says it is, well, we got some place so we can fall back on, and, you know, we'll keep a little money, get that little town over there, buy another piece of land so we got some place to live, etc. You know, we don't want to get too wrapped up in this because that, you know, may not work out like everybody says it will. You got to use your head. You know, you got to think. God gave you a brain, you should use it. Yeah, not that way. I've heard that so many times, and why are you trying to figure out how to get around God? That's not what your brain is for, okay? Honestly. So anyway, they bring part of it and give the impression they're giving it all. We've never known anybody like that. I mean, preachers don't do that. You know, people in Bible school don't do that. Christians don't do that. They don't put on a pretense, would they? Give the impression they're something they're not, would they? Aren't you glad God's not dealing with that today like he dealt with it then? I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have gotten past the first year of my Christianity. Because don't we all do it? Don't we want folks to think more highly of us than we really are? Don't we like to give people the impression more is going on than is going on? I used to go to the fellowship meetings back east before when I had the church before, and I've been to one since we've gotten back there. It was a good time. They haven't changed a whole lot. And the pastors show up, and they're good guys. They really are. I'm not taking anything away from them as far as that's concerned. I don't know them that well, and et cetera, but they seem like good fellows. They're trying. But you know, they used to show up and they'd ask you how many you were running Sunday. In or out? How many did we get to come, or how did we persuade to never see us again? And it was always a contest. And I never went to those fellowship meetings, but I always wanted to be able to, I always wanted to hear somebody, you know, talking about me over there and saying, boy, did you hear what Bard did this week? You hear what Bard's doing up there? Always did. And God said, are you serious? Well, yeah. I want people to talk about me like that. I've never been that bright. You know, isn't that how we are? Don't we want people to think we're really on fire for God when we're just barely lit? And, you know, the odd thing about this is that it's basically, it's human nature. But Satan got involved in that. And he always feeds your nature. You know, when you think about these things, you're not thinking, well, that would be stupid. Why would I want to do that? You're thinking, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Oh, yeah, you know, like Eve, oh, yeah, it looks good. Oh, yeah, I bet it tastes good, too. Oh, and I get wiser? Oh, I'm in. The only problem with that, God said no. But we don't think about that. We don't consider what God might want out of this thing. We only know what we think we should do to take care of ourselves. And that's really not where God's at. Lord told me a long time ago, he says, listen, when I can't take care of you anymore, I'll let you know. I have a, well, you know, I understand how this works out here. I appreciate it. I took the course to get a concealed carry permit, et cetera, et cetera. And I never have. Because God's told me this, and you can do what you want with it. Help yourself. I'm not telling you how to walk with God. God said, well, when the day comes, Bart, that you need a gun to protect yourself, call me and let me know, and I'll stop. Uh-oh. When you think you got it figured out and can take care of yourself, go right ahead. Now, I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I'm not saying that just for me. I know me, and I know my relationship with God, and that's how it is. So I'm scared to have something like that. I just know. It's a peculiar thing. You want to know where you stand with God and how that works out. These people right here, Peter even said, it was always yours. You can do what you want with it. We're not asking you to give everything you got. We didn't ask that of you. That is what's going on. But we don't care what you give. It doesn't matter to me. But it does matter to God if you're trying to lie about it. Because we're trying to get things going here, and we don't need this messed up already. We're at the end of this thing. It's 2,000 years after this. Well, not quite, but it's coming up on it pretty close. How do you think this has worked out over the years? Look around. We live on pretense. There's very little real about us in our relationship with God, in our walk with God, in our relationship with each other. There's very little real about us. You go to a lot of churches, and it's hard to find what's anybody that means it, that's sincere, that's honest. You preach to people these days, and they take it like it's some nice thing people said, and you got people that say, well, I want to hear him. He says good things. And what does that matter to you? Because you're not going to do anything he says. You listen, you like it, you take notes, you take them home, but it's not changing a thing you're doing. So why does it matter? Well, you want to look good. This is the classic. You're even deceiving yourself. I tell people, I've said it here. Self-deception is the best kind. You don't even know you're doing it. And, you know, you can't help somebody that's deceived themselves. You can't do a thing for them. But I mean, tell you what, in most of our churches, people have determined their walk with God based upon what they think and how they feel, and they've lied to themselves saying this works. Because I can't do that, and I can't be this, and I can't go there. So I'm just going to go here, and that's it, and we're all set. And that's as good as I can do, and God's got to accept that because that's it. But they give the impression they're all in. That's deception. It's a lie. That's what deception means. It's a lie. You know, the Lord said that land was in your control, under your power, before you sold it. And afterwards, the money you got was under your power. You were in control. But you want to act like God's in control. And brethren, control is the whole issue. It's the whole issue. We have this contest in our country now. It has nothing to do with what's right or what's good or what's true, what matters, what's good for the country. It's whether or not certain people are in control. They want it their way. They want control. Elections are not about finding the best person to run the country anymore or the best person to represent us. It's about a bunch of people trying to gain control of things so they can have it their way. Everybody wants control. And that's human nature. When George Washington got done being president, he walked in and said, "Here it is, yours." "Oh, no, we want you." "No, I will not stay. The army's yours. Government's yours. Goodbye." They said that was so amazing. Nobody had ever done that before. So amazing, they didn't know how to behave. Because they thought after they'd elected him the second time, he was in. He did run twice, right? Well, my history's, I'm so historical now that history is getting confused. They were amazed. Because they can't imagine a man not wanting to keep control. Well, that's why it's so hard for the brethren to get that. Even when you give it all to God, you've still got to have a measure of control over things, but you don't want people to know that. Because you want to act like you're actually living by faith. I tell people all the time, living by faith means you don't know what's going to happen, and you're not in control. They look at me funny like, "Huh? Well, I guess so. I'm not going to try it, though. I live by faith according to my bank account, according to what I've got in my house. And if God ever starts taking stuff away from me, I get upset with him and start telling him how that can't happen. Because we want to be in control." Don't you tell God how it's going to be? No, of course not. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. We are in a church now because I went there and preached one time. And my church is an old New England church building. If you look at a postcard or you look at a picture of New England, you'll see off in the distance this white building and the steeple, and it's got a bell that works, etc., and that's my church. Never thought, all the time I lived in New England, I'd ever pastor a church like that because they all looked like they were dead. I've proven they are. And I went there because I took my son to New Hampshire to meet another pastor and so forth, and I wanted some place to preach. And so I asked him, I heard that there were a lot of churches didn't have anybody pastoring them, and I thought maybe I'll find a place to preach. I did. And they asked me if I want to be their pastor. I said, "No, you don't want me. I'm not your guy. I am not that kind of guy. You want somebody that can handle you, and I'm just going to aggravate you." I didn't say it in those words, but I tried to. But you know what? Went back the following week because he still needed his pastor, and I had an open date. I had a lot of those. And they asked me again. And they said, "Well, we're going to change some things." I said, "You can't change enough fast enough for me," basically. So anyway, they were looking at a guy. And I told Debbie, I said, we'll just let God handle it. I'm not going to tell him yay or nay. I'm not going to pursue it. But I'm not going to tell him, jump off a cliff, leave me alone. Because I want to see what God wants. And so I'm not going to interfere. I'm not going to take over. I'll just let it go. Well, they had a young man they were looking at and trying to get in, and he just didn't work out too well. They have people that come there that aren't members that come regularly. A couple that comes all the time, they're members of another church. They go there Sunday morning, but they don't have a Sunday night service or a Wednesday night service, so they come to ours. And they said, "Can these people ask you questions?" I said, "Sure. I don't care who asks me any questions. I have a Q&A. This is after a few things. Well, they asked this young man if he cared, if they weren't members, so they asked him questions. He said, "Absolutely not." And so they said, "See ya." Because he acted, if you weren't a member, then you didn't matter. So I told them, "Yeah, invite the town if you want to. I don't care. They can ask me all kinds of weird questions." And I answered their questions. There was only three of them. Why it was such a problem? I'd filled out a questionnaire before, so they knew most things. But the thing is that, and I don't do questionnaires, but I did that one for other reasons, but the nature of it was no big deal. And so the last question was, "When can you come?" I said, "You haven't voted yet." "Well, when we vote you in, when can you come?" Well, there's no doubt about how this is going to work out. I'm nuts. Here we are. We moved there in February. February 3rd was the first Sunday I preached. I got there on the 2nd. 5 below zero. That's cold anywhere you go. That's even cold for me. Five below zero, I said, hallelujah. Can't hardly wait to see how the rest of the winter is going to work out. But the Lord's proven that he wanted us there. And he's told me very clearly inside, you know, in my heart, that that's where he wants me. Wants us. Well, he wants me, so she goes with me. Which is nice. Trust me, that was a... You have to think about that. Are you in, sweetheart? They keep asking her, do you like it here? She says, why wouldn't I? I'm here. But you know, I let God run my life. He got a lot better sense than I have. He's proven that many, many, many. I've proven it many, many, many times. And a life of faith is not your life. It's not your life you're living when you live by faith. It's not your determination. It's not your choices. It's not what you like. It's not where you want to be. You don't hang around with the people you choose. You know, folks always say, well, go to the church of your choice. Never do that. Go where God leads you. Go where God shows up. Go where the book is being preached. Go where your children can be admonished on spiritual things. Go where the folks are at least trying to walk with God. Don't expect them all to do it as well as you do, but where they're at least trying to walk with God and care about something outside of this world. So, faith is not your life. It's the life that you live in God's world. And it should be his life in you, but that's another story altogether. So the thing is, you got these folks here, and they said, well, we need to give the impression that we're spiritual so folks will think well of us, because we want to have fellowship and hang out with the brethren, and if we don't give it all, they'll look at us funny and not think as well of us as we would otherwise. Well, that worked well. They're dead. Lord said, I'll take care of that for you. I'll just take you home. Okay? Now, I hope they had eternal security by then. I really do. For their sakes. Amen? Because that's like, they, you know, when Peter told Simon, you're in a bad way, son. You want to buy the Holy Ghost? I don't think so. That's not even smart. Okay? They lied to him. That could get you hurt. Did. At least, they died. Who knows what happened to them? But they tried to present that philosophy of being something they weren't. Ain't that something? Now, you'd never try that, would you? In this day and time, I've been to churches and I thought, if you folks weren't acting, you'd fall apart. If we ever found out what you were really like, and we probably know, but we don't want to let everybody else know, so we'll just put up with you like you are, because we're probably like you are. So there you go. My children were little. I remember being a child. I did pull a few things out of that age, and the thing I remembered that I hated the most was that they lived in a way that was wrong, but they wanted me to do right because I was still young. I heard Paul Harvey say one time, so when your X age is no longer X-rated about pornographic films and stuff like that, I said, now that's wise. So when I turn 18, I can watch what I want. It's no longer filthy. But that's how I was raised. I came home from college one time and I was smoking a pipe. And I put it on the counter. And they started to say something. I thought to myself, right, I've sucked your stinking cigarette smoke for 17 years and you're going to say something to me about a pipe? I've watched you drunk to where you couldn't stand up and you're going to say something to me about something I'm doing? Hardly. You sold that one a long time ago. That's past. Don't try to be a hypocrite to me. And I remembered being that way, and I thought, man, I got every potential to be that with my kids. I remember when they were young, and I've told you this, but I remember when they were young, and God said, what do you want them to be when they grow up? And I told them, well, you know, walk with you, know you, da-da-da-da-da. He said, let's go. I said, huh? He said, they're going to be just like you. If you can't do it, don't expect it of them. I said, whoops. That changed my life. There's a lot of things that didn't happen in my life. Folks say, well, you don't have any fun. You know, that's not the goal. Well, you don't do this. Well, what are you? That's not the goal. The goal is to involve my children with spiritual things. If I don't involve myself with them, they aren't going to. And if I live after the flesh and after the world, they're going to. So I'm not going to do it. What have we missed? Can't think of a thing. These folks didn't get that. Can you imagine having Ananias and Sapphira as your parents? You know, nobody told her that her husband was dead. They didn't have a funeral. They didn't have a wake. They didn't look. They just buried him. I hope he was dead. She shows up 3 hours later. You think in 3 hours somebody could have mentioned it? 3 hours later, she shows up, drops dead too. What about the kids? Well, it doesn't say anything about what happened. No, but what if they had children? Yeah, mom and dad were hypocrites, so God killed them. Well, I think I'll live right. Thank you. Woo, that's a heritage. What do your kids think of you? I don't care what they think of me. I want them to think something about Jesus Christ. I am not the perfect parent, perfect father, perfect Christian, by any means. I'm not the one they need to worry about. But I don't want to get in their way either. And I don't want to cause them to stumble. If you should help anybody get to Christ, it should be your children, as best you know how. If it costs you everything you got and for them to walk with God, that's not a high price. They wanted control. They weren't really wanting to trust God completely. Boy, isn't that a challenge? Why is it that we think God does not have our best interests at heart? Why is it that we feel like if we trust Him totally, we're going to lose? That if we give everything to Him and turn ourselves over to Him and let Him have everything in our life and let Him run it, it's not going to work. We're not going to like it. Why is that? Because the devil's lying to you. The devil's giving you the impression that God's not that good. Well, we say God's good all the time. We just don't live that way. We just don't behave like it. We act like we got better sense. We act like the creator of heaven and earth, the only one that's got all wisdom and is perfect in every way, isn't going to watch out for us as best as anybody could, much better than we can understand. Why can't we trust God? You know, it's amazing to me how often the brethren get this attitude that God is not in their best interests. Really? You know, if you have a missions conference, you tell people you want to, we're trying to give and support missionaries and get this thing going and so forth, and they say, well, I just can't afford to help that out. Really? Or you don't want to because you're afraid you'll give too much. They think God wants more from them, and He wants to make them broke and put them living into a cardboard box under the bridge someplace. That's the impression I get. I don't understand that. God doesn't do that. He's not going to put you in a 3,500 square foot mansion necessarily, or 5,000 with servants, 4-car garage with three of them with antique cars in them. I mean, that's not necessarily what he's going to do. If he does, you could sell it all and support more missionaries. But I guess we want it here. And so we don't trust him to keep us comfortable here. And I'll be honest with you, last time I checked, God's not into keeping us comfortable. But I'll tell you what, you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to worry about a lot of things you worry about now. There's just something about being filled with the Spirit that changes the world, the way it looks, the way it is, what it is. It loses its sparkle, attraction, interest. And you really don't bother, you don't worry about where you are. So they followed God on their terms, like they thought it would work out for them. Now, we know when you get saved, God gives you his righteousness. Amen? They didn't quite get to the point where they were practicing his righteousness, though. They were practicing their own. You know what that's called? Self-righteousness. You wouldn't think somebody like this would be behaving self-righteously, would you? Not in the early church, but they were. They were portraying their righteousness. They were trying to make God's righteousness, or appear as they were walking in God's righteousness, but they were walking in their own. Now, self-righteous folks most of the time can't be helped. Hence, dead. Bummer, huh? If there's anything that harms a church more than self-righteous people, we think it's sin. That is sin, but it's a different kind of sin, and it's one of the most dangerous things there is, because you can't do a thing with self-righteous people. Not a thing. And if anybody's supposed to be humble before God and not practice self-righteousness, it would have to be the preacher. Amen? But unfortunately, most of us want to be thought of more highly than we are. If they see that in me, what's that going to do to them? A, they probably know it, but B, if you don't think it's good, stop it. Wild, isn't it? We're afraid they'll find out. Well, quit it, and they won't find out. I hear stories about what preachers do and how it works, et cetera, et cetera, and I'll be honest with you, it grieves my soul. I grew up in a Catholic church. No, enough said about what religious clerics do. We don't need it among us. If there are any people on earth that should be as careful as possible about being stupid when it comes to sin, it's us. But it's so easy, isn't it? I'll catch myself thinking sometimes about good things, and suddenly I'm over here in some stupidity. I'm thinking, how did that happen? Well, we're just wicked. Saints, saved, walking with God, but, you know, there's still that tendency to just jump off the bridge someplace. Ananias and Sapphira, a classic example. And the reason God killed them is because he didn't want that starting among his people. That's why when God established the law, the guy's out picking up sticks. What should we do with him? Kill him. Really? He's just picking up sticks. Can't we put him in rehab or something? Kill him. But kill him. Okay. Not going to put up with it. We get away with a lot now because we're way down here at the end of things. I hope God doesn't start killing people because of pretentious hypocrisy. Because, you know, I may get whacked. Maybe a bad day, I'm doing something stupid, and God says, okay, enough of that. Son. And I'm old enough now, they say, well, he died of old age. but I'd know better. Isn't it wild? You think about Ananias and Sapphira, and you hope that doesn't start up again, but shouldn't be around now. I would suggest that if revival comes, God help us if it doesn't, but if revival might come, that we'd pay attention to all things and be extremely careful about how we behave with the things of God and trying to present ourselves to the brethren as being something and not put on the pretense so that folks will think, we want folks to think more or better of us than really is so. Now, you wouldn't do that, I'm sure. But you might know some folks that would incline their way. And you can help them, amen? But you can get away with it now. You think? Maybe not. Maybe God's not working these days like he'd like to because there's just too much hypocrisy, foolishness, unnecessary behavior, presenting something that's not so, not living by faith, not trusting Christ, not trusting God as he is. Maybe the Lord just figures, well, you know, if I started cleaning that up, there wouldn't be much left. And we're trying to get through this thing, amen? So let's not. Let's try to help God. Let's try to live where God can bless us. Get in the place where it's real. And when you find him there, soak it up and make it better, more real. Father, we thank you for your grace. And once again, bless us now. Bless the day and those preaching.